I want to take a look at a passage this evening that I hope will be encouraging as we look at this passage and its meaning for us. The passage is this, Galatians 6, verses 9 and 10. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart or if we don't faint. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Do God's people ever grow tired of doing good? And the Apostle Paul seems to be addressing that very thing, doesn't he? Let us not grow weary while doing good. Weariness and well-doing, we may call it compassion fatigue or well-doers burnout. It happens sometimes when a very dedicated, committed Christian suddenly realizes he or she has grown tired. Tired of giving, tired of doing. And he finds that, or she finds that the joy of service is gone. Paul's encouragement is, however, let us not lose heart in doing good. I want to ask a question. Who gets weary of well-doing? I want to propose several just to open our eyes to the possibilities of some in the pews with us or some who wish they could be in the pews with us that are not able to. And I remind us of this so that we can be mindful not only of what we do when we get weary and well-doing, but to encourage others who may be discouraged. Who gets weary of well-doing? First answer is any worker in the Lord's kingdom can get weary. Paul doesn't specify here as to exactly who it is that has grown weary. He just uses the all-encompassing us and we. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not faint. To any and every Christian, he writes these things. Any worker in the Lord's kingdom can get weary. It happens to all kinds of people that are concerned for the work of the Lord. But more specifically, parents sometimes get weary. Parents get weary. I've always had a soft spot in my heart for parents bringing young children to church services and Bible class. And I've seen many parents that are so concerned about their children misbehaving and disrupting. And I've also seen looks from people that were being disrupted. And my heart goes out to those parents with small children. Perhaps because Patrice was the one who had to handle the children when they were small. And all I could do was reinforce what she had tried to accomplish when we got home. But parents need our encouragement. Because parents get weary. They get weary. Weary, bringing the children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, as Ephesians 6:4 says. And so sometimes it's parents who get weary. I read about a woman who telephoned a friend and asked how she was feeling. Terrible, came the reply over the wire. My head's splitting, my back and legs are killing me, the house is a mess. And the kids are driving me crazy. Well, very sympathetically, the caller said, well, listen, go and lie down. I'll come over right away, cook lunch for you, clean up the house, take care of the children while you get some rest. By the way, how is Sam? Sam? The complaining housewife gasped. I don't have a husband named Sam. Oh, my heavens, exclaimed the first woman. I must have dialed the wrong number. Well, there was a long pause followed by this question. Well, are you still coming over? Parents need our encouragement. They get tired. They get weary. Let's remember that. Those who have served a long time get tired. I think about the words of the Apostle Paul as he writes his last letter. I'm already being poured out as a drink offering. The time of my departure has come. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. which the Lord shall give to me, not to me only, but to all those who have loved his appearing. Now think about Timothy as he was reading those words that Paul had written to him, and how that Timothy, knowing his life spent in service, and how that had to be such an inspiration to Timothy. But Paul, as he's facing the end of his life and execution, he had lived a life of service to God, encountered so much, suffered so much. He was one that could grow tired because of service. But I think of some of our own. I think of Miss Annie Laurie Henderson. Got a call this past week from a chaplain at Gordon Oaks that Miss Annie Laurie is now staying there. And the chaplain put Miss Annie Laurie on the phone and said, now I'm not here for respite care. This is my residence now. Miss Annie Laurie. Miss Annie Laurie, who, if you've known her long, you know how vivacious she has been. And if there's anything going on, Miss Annie Laurie wants to be involved and always has a smile on her face. Miss Annie Laurie is getting a little older. She needs our encouragement. I suspect there are going to be a lot of her church family reaching out to her this week. Those who've served a long time get tired. Those who have seen few results can feel the weariness of well-doing. When you're working in the Lord's work, many times you can't see the results instantaneously. I think about even the Apostle Paul in the statement that he writes, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase." Speaking of his work of preaching the gospel, he says, "I planted," but the rest of it indicates that he didn't immediately see the results of his planning and teaching and preaching Christ. But Apollos came behind, watered, and then God gave the increase. But we lived in such a result-oriented society, we want instant results. But the work of the Lord is of a different nature. We don't always see the results quickly. And when we don't see results, we can grow weary of well-doing. Those affected by the apathy, whether it's real or imagined, of others are candidates for this problem of weariness. Jesus said of the church, Revelation 2 and verse 4, "I have this against you, church at Laodicea, that you have left your first love." And that's a sad condition. But it's also sad for those who feel like they know others who have left their first love, that aren't as on fire as they used to. And that can be discouraging. One who did quit said, "I found lots of weaknesses in the American church, and they got to me. Interested in missions? Only casual. A spirit of sacrifice? Not much. A willingness to serve? Only if convenient. A burden for a lost world? Not really. How could I do anything but become cynical? Unfortunately, I did." Cynicism is a danger to those who work next to people who don't see the real issues or don't seem to care. Cynicism is an outlook that says things are never going to work out, will never make an impact. That can be and is discouraging. Those who experience temporary failures can feel weary. I think a great case study is Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 18. He's battling against the false prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And he has a contest of calling down fire from heaven. And the God who sends fire from heaven and consumes the sacrifices is the one true living God. And the false prophets, 450 prophets of Baal, call out to their God. But Baal is silent. And Elijah is toying with them and says, well, maybe he's asleep, and cry a little louder. And they cried louder and they cut themselves trying to get the attention of this God who didn't even exist. And Elijah then, you remember, he dug around the well, put gallons of water on the sacrifice that filled up this trench around the well, and God sent fire from heaven and it consumed it all. There was a great victory. But then the very next chapter, wicked Queen Jezebel says, your life is going to be like the lives of those prophets that she had killed. These weren't idle threats. She was known. She had evidence that she could do such a thing. And Elijah, even though he had seen what God had done on Mount Carmel, begins to run and run and run and grows weary. The failure was only temporary, but for a while Elijah gave in to it. Those experiencing temporary failures can feel weary. Those who are rejected by others sometimes want to quit. You put your heart and soul in some project, something you believe to be worthwhile, something God would want you to do, and it meets resistance, and your efforts are rejected, and that hurts, and it makes you want to quit. Never again will I put that much effort into a project. What about Samuel the prophet? The Israelites are wanting a king. He says, no, that's not the will of God. But they keep pleading. They want to be like the other nations. They want a king. Samuel is pleading with them until God silences him and says, they haven't rejected you. Speaking to Samuel, they've rejected me. But it's hard not to get the two tied up together. Being rejected by people and rejected by God. Those who are lonely can begin to become weary of well-doing. Again, Elijah is a classic example. When God provides for Elijah under the broom or the juniper tree, he asks Elijah, what are you doing? Elijah responds, I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, torn down thine altars, and killed thy prophets with a sword, and I alone am left. I'm the only one. And they're seeking my life to take it away. He felt all alone. Later in the same chapter, we read 1 Kings 19, how God reminded him there are 7,000 who had not bowed their knee to Baal. You're not alone. And he reminded him in many wonderful ways that God was present. But when you feel lonely, you can become weary of well-doing. The criticized, after a while, can become weary. Perhaps why Jesus included this in the Beatitudes. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets who were before you. Criticism sometimes can be unmerited. Sometimes it can be absolutely wrong. Sometimes it's on target, but it's never pleasant. Heard a good lesson about that this past Wednesday night. But criticism can make a person weary. 1923, Russian-born engineer Vladimir Zorkin worked on his latest invention. He was told, spend your time on something more useful. But Vladimir wouldn't quit. And in 1929, he obtained the first patent for his invention. And that is the color television. Among his many achievements, Vladimir also helped perfect the electron microscope and other devices. He retired as director of electronic research for RCA in 1954. 1966 was awarded the National Medal of Science. Yet criticism almost marked all of the milestones of his path. Someone has said, where there's light, there are bugs. And I think that's the case. When you're striving to do something, critics will arise. But we mustn't grow weary. Those who get caught up in comparisons set themselves up for weariness and well-doing. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 12, Paul says, "We dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves, but they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." It's not a wise thing to do, Paul says, this comparison. If you will, open your Bibles to John chapter 21. Read this recently and I loved the lesson. This is one of Jesus' post-resurrection appearances. This is the occasion when Jesus speaks to Peter, takes him aside and asks him three times, "Do you love me?" And each time, Simon Peter answers affirmatively. But then Jesus tells him something about his future. Verse 18 of John 21. "Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish." Then John tells us this Jesus spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. Tradition tells us that not only was Peter crucified, but that he was crucified upside down because he didn't want to be crucified the same way as his Lord. So it seems that Jesus is alluding to the death that he would die in service to him. But notice the end of verse 19, when he had spoken this, he said to him, Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me." Now look at this, verse 20. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following. Saw John following. John had also leaned on Jesus' breast at the supper, saying, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" And Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" Jesus has told Peter what's going to happen to him in pretty vague terms. And so Peter's wanting to know, "Well, Lord, what about John?" It seems to me he's asking, what's going to happen to John? And notice Jesus' response. Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Paraphrase might be, "You don't worry about John. You just follow me. You just follow me." Instead of comparing and saying, "Well, I can't do what so-and-so can," we need to do what we can. I love the definition of faithful Christian living is doing what you can with what you have where you are. Another group that can be discouraged are those who are experiencing poor health. As we grow older, we must adjust to ailments that limit our capacity. Even had a conversation this evening right before services. Growing old isn't for sissies. And we get frustrated when we can't do the things that we once did, and that can be discouraging to us. It's one of the reasons why Solomon wrote, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, 'I have no pleasure in them.'" But lastly, those who can be discouraged or grow discouraged, grow weary, are those who are working hard. "Let us not grow weary," Paul says, "while doing good, for in due season we shall reap. If we do not lose heart, if we don't faint." Patsy Claremont told a story, true story, about her son, Jason. He was 7 years old. He said, "When he was seven, I sent him off to school one day, and a little while later, there was a knock at the door, and I opened the door, and it was Jason. I said, 'Jason, what are you doing here?' He replied, 'I've quit school.' I said, 'Why have you quit school?' He said, well, it was too long, it was too hard, and it was too boring. Patsy Claremont, mom, responded, Jason, you've just described life. Now get back on the bus. Well, sometimes life is long, it's hard, maybe even boring. But Paul's writing, encouraging Christians who are growing weary. May we find encouragement. Let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Here are four words for the weary well-doer. Four words. The first word is rest. Rest. I'm interested to read in Mark chapter 6. The apostles gathered to Jesus, told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And as I put myself in that situation, I see the apostles just stumbling over themselves with excitement, telling Jesus what the Spirit had guided them to teach and what the miracles they were able to perform. And so they're so excited about what's been done, what's been taught. But Jesus says to them, Mark 6, verse 31, come aside by yourself to a deserted place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they didn't even have time to eat. Jesus told them to rest. They were doing great work. But lest they grow weary, he told them to rest. Second word is recharge. Recharge. 1 Peter 2, verse 2 says, as newborn babes, he's writing to Christians, Peter is, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. They were to partake of the word. Yes, listen to Peter, study his letters, spend time in the word so that they could grow. We need that time of spending time in the Word, spending time in prayer, spending time reflecting upon His Word and how it applies to recharge our batteries to where we can go back and serve again. Rest, recharge, refocus is the third word. Why are you doing what you're doing? Think again about the purpose here. One purpose statement is Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Remember who you're serving. Remember you're serving Christ. And remember, by doing the Lord's work, you're seeking not only to glorify Him, but to bring others to Him. To let others see your good works, but glorify Him who is in heaven. Matthew 5. In verse 16, refocus. Think about why you're doing what you're doing in service to God. And then fourth word is remember. Remember. Remember the Lord is with you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Remember that your labor is not in vain. Paul, writing to the Christians at Corinth, said, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's not in vain. You shall reap if you do not faint. And I want to conclude with this thought. Remember that there's a good kind of tired. There's a good kind of tired. I've been asking some of you that have family down in Guyana this week how they're doing. And most of you said you haven't got enough information. So I'm looking for information. I suspect they're very busy. I've heard of some of them building houses, visiting orphanages, visiting the hospital. And I suspect, Lord willing, Friday evening when they return, they're going to come back tired. But I'm thinking if we poll all 19 of those folks that are down there from here, is it a good kind of tired? I believe every one of them would answer, absolutely. There's a good kind of tired. It's a good kind of tired when what you do is done to the glory of God. It's a good kind of tired when it's a team effort, when you're working together with others in the work of the Lord. I love 1 Corinthians 3:9. We are laborers together with God. That's King James wording. We are laborers together with God. We are laborers. There is work involved. It requires effort, but we're laborers together. A burden shared is more easily carried, and it doesn't seem as much as a burden when we're working together. But that's not all. Paul said we're laborers together with God. It's God's work. God is with us. He's part of the team, if you will. It's a good kind of tired when it's done for Christ. When it's done for Christ. Colossians 3:23 and 24 was written specifically to Christians who were serving as slaves. And notice what the Apostle Paul writes to them. And whatever you do, he's saying to these slaves, Christian slaves, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. You go about your business even as a slave, as a Christian slave who is serving not your master, your earthly master, so much as it is your heavenly master, the Lord Jesus Christ. You go about serving others as if you're serving the Lord Himself. Because basically the truth is, we are. And if we keep that in mind when we're engaged in service and seeking to do good and tempting to grow weary, remember, there's a good kind of tired when it's done for Christ. I read about a nurse who was out on the battlefield and tending to wounded soldiers. And the work got very involved and gross at times. And one onlooker said, I wouldn't do that for all the money in the world. Neither would I, replied the nurse, but I'll do it for Christ. That's the right perspective. We're serving Christ, and that's a good kind of tired. So Galatians 6:9, to anyone weary and well-doing this evening, or if we know someone who is, let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap, if we don't lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Perhaps tonight you're ready to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Or perhaps tonight you need the prayers of the church. Perhaps you've grown weary in serving and need to recommit your life to serving Christ and need the prayers of the church to help. If that be the case, if you're subject to the invitation of Christ, please come right now as we stand and sing.